Welcome to the Big Dreams Great Teams podcast with me, your host, Paula Maidens. I'm a mum of two, a hiring and leadership coach, speaker, ex-corporate recruiter, and serial entrepreneur who is obsessed with teaching capable business owners just like you how to become graceful and powerful leaders surrounded by a team who perform like rock stars. On this podcast, we'll be talking about all things people, business, and leadership because big dreams need great teams. You simply cannot do it on your own. I'm excited to have you here. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Big Dreams Great Teams podcast, everybody. Today's topic, it's really juicy, and I'm excited to dive into it with you today. I read a really interesting quote the other day. A quote that I've heard before, and I have no idea where it came from, so I can't unfortunately offer the person credit. But this was the quote, "Your business will only rise to the level of your systems and structure." And I absolutely love this quote. I have seen in the last, 15 years that I've been in the recruitment HR space, consulting to small businesses, I've seen so many businesses get stuck at a certain stage of expansion. And often that looks like hitting a revenue cap. And it's because the business doesn't have capacity to grow any further. And while, yes, that capacity feels like and often is a physical human capacity, thing that's stopping them, you've run out of practical hours, it's also more than that. It's also the capacity that comes with having systems and structure. So the additional capacity that your business gets when you have good systems and structure. And that's why I love this saying, your business will only rise to the level of your systems and structure. And in my mind, there's a deeper level or a deeper layer that we can go to with that quote. And that is, your business will only rise to the level and systemization of your business, your team, and your communication structures. Because of course, that's the stuff that I work on with clients. And that's the stuff that I know and I see makes such a big difference. So the systemization of team, the systemization and the structures of communication. And it's those specific systems and those specific structures that fuel and enhance the business's capacity. So today's podcast, well, it's really posing a question to you, and that is, where are you limiting your growth, your business's ability to grow through the limitations that you may be putting in place on your team? And I guess specifically through missing systems or missing structures, or where there just might be scope for you to do it better. So I thought it might be helpful today to share with you a bunch of examples, four main ones, in fact, of how you may be accidentally limiting your team and therefore accidentally limiting your business's growth potential so that you can have a listen and assess, am I doing that? Or I wonder if that could be the case for us. Okay, so here we go. Let's dive in. So here's four main things that you may be doing or things that may be happening that will, if they're happening, limit your team's potential to show up and fully support you to achieve your business goals. Now, the first one is if your team has to wait to hear from you before they know what they need to get on with and do. So if your team has to wait in some way to hear from you, to know what the priorities are or know what they need to do. So in our businesses, we don't want people waiting on you. You don't want to put that pressure on yourself. And I'm sure that if that is the case, or you're finding that that's the case, you do feel pressure because of it. So you don't want to put that pressure on yourself. And you don't want to have that inefficiency of productivity sitting in your business. Now, I see a lot of businesses, I work with a lot of people, especially teams that are made up of subcontractors. So people who sort of subcontract in and out within their team, or, just naturally working with certain people within their team in that sort of reactive way. So you wait until I tell you what to do, and then you get on and do it. And they think to themselves, well, that's okay because she only bills me for when she works, or she's a casual, so I only pay her or him for when they work. So although you may think that makes it okay, the reality is if you want somebody to reserve a certain amount of time in their calendar to be available to work with you, even if they're a subcontractor and they can't get on with being as efficient and effective in their diary and in their day until they get information from you, then you will always be paying for some time that isn't being used as effectively as it could. Plus, like, I guess ultimately, it's not really that fair, right? If you hire someone, even as a subcontractor, you bring someone onto your team as a subcontractor and you have an expectation or you ask them to be available for a certain number of hours, but they're waiting on work from you to be able to be effective, you kind of need to like be willing to pay them to be available, even if you aren't ready with the work they need to do, like just to be fair, I guess. So as a general rule, you always want people on your team to have work that they can do on their own. So whether they're a subcontractor or they're an employee, if it's somebody who's working with you regularly, you always want people to have work that they can do on their own, even from their first day in your business. Now, when they've just first started, that might be learning. So things that they can do to learn and absorb information on their own. And after they're more established with you, you really want them to have a list of repeatable tasks, repeatable things that they can always do on their own without you needing to prompt them. Plus, downtime projects that are sitting there waiting for them to dive in and get on with if they ever have a slow day or a spare half an hour here and there. So when somebody new is starting with you, think about what can they read? What can they watch? What can they go and look at to get them up to speed? So that's an example of some things that they can do on their own. And then once they've been through that training phase, ask yourself, well, what project can I brief them on? Or what project, a future thing, which would be great to start inching forward on? How can I brief them or write out an explanation or just put some words or something down so that they can look at that and start to inch it forward if they ever find themselves without something to do at some stage in the future? So something that may not feel like a priority now, but might be nice to move forward if a quiet patch comes along. So you always want people on your team to have repeatable tasks that they can do without being prompted by you and downtime projects that they can dive into at any stage. So that's the first one. And if you start to clean that up, focusing on what's the repeatable task, what are some downtime projects, then you'll find that more stuff suddenly starts getting done. Productivity will lift up and you won't look back, I promise. So that was the first one. The second one is when you aren't handing over a project or a responsibility in full. So maybe you hand over a task or maybe you brief someone on a project in a little bit and you sort of give them a tiny bit of information and then you say, hey, get started with that and circle back to me. Then if you're doing this and if you're doing this often, then you're limiting them. Now, I also just want to say here that if this happens occasionally, of course, that's totally okay. And it is going to happen occasionally. You will run out of time to properly be able to brief someone and you will find yourself saying, hey, let's just get started. You get going with this and let's chat later with questions. But if it's happening all the time, if you're finding yourself constantly in meetings saying, once you get started with that and we'll chat about the details later, if it's happening often because you haven't thought through properly what you want the person to do, what a successful outcome looks like, so they can truly own it and run with it to the end, then the reality is that you aren't empowering them to own it and to get on with it. And in turn, you're limiting them and their ability to deliver to your goals. Now, this is definitely a big one. I see it all the time. And often it looks like this. You know, you arrive at a meeting unprepared, you hand over some jobs and tasks and things that are in your mind as they come to your mind or referencing some quick notes that you've written down without really having thought them through. You tell the person to get started on it, see how they go, see what questions you have, And then later that day, or maybe the next day, you receive some sort of communication back from them. Maybe it's an email with a whole bunch of questions because they've reached a point where they aren't sure what to do next and they've hit a crossroads. Whereas if you'd allocated some time and thought through whatever it is you're handing over, task, you know, project, whatever it is, if you thought it through a little bit more in its entirety, including what you want done, to what point, what that endpoint looks like, and shared that and paused to give them the ability to ask questions, to think it through, then you will find that you won't end up with that email communication and all those questions sitting back in your inbox, which can often feel like the project or the task or the responsibility that you're trying to hand over getting bounced back to you. And frankly, if this is happening, I know how frustrated you're probably feeling. So this one is hard because it takes a little bit of prep and it definitely takes time and it takes a little bit of discipline, I guess, to get your brain out of the gray idea space and to drop it a little bit more into the visualization of what the project steps might look like and what you'd like it to look like. But the result is empowerment, ownership, and ultimately more projects and more things getting moved forward without you having to be involved all the way. So often what I see is when we can shift our thinking and we can shift and put a little bit of a discipline around, let me just do a little bit more thinking before I hand this over. Let me verbalize what a great outcome looks like. Let me explain what point I want them to get to and what some little micro decisions they might need to make along the way. Once we get better at that, the outcome and the output that you start getting back to you will surprise and exceed what you had hoped for. Okay, so that was number two. Now let's dive into number three. So another way that you might be limiting your team is by needing to be involved in all the steps of all the things. Another really common way that you can be accidentally limiting your team. Now this is especially common when we are newer in business and you find yourself wanting to passionately hold on to the control of the little details because your brain might think that it's those little details that have led you to the success that you're enjoying at this point. And there might be some fear of letting go of some of these little details in your business. So I totally get it because often there's, you know, there's an attachment to the way things were done. There's a fear that if too much changes, you'll no longer be successful, revenue might dry up, and now you're paying people to do the things. So often what I see is because of that wanting to hold on to control, fear of something going wrong, you think that by constantly checking in and being involved in lots of the steps, it'll stop it from happening. And often what I see is a little bit of convincing of yourself that you were delegating when in fact you're actually shadowing somebody else doing it. And, you know, when that little question arises in your head, which is, maybe I'd be better off doing this myself, you're right. It probably would be quicker for you to go back to doing it yourself as opposed to shadowing and being involved in every step. So this is really common. It's really normal. And if you're nodding and laughing as you're listening to this, I want you to know I get it. It's hard, it's common, and we've all been there, me included. My hand is up. Okay, so here's what you need to do if you're nodding there as you're listening to this. You need to work out what details are important and what details aren't important. So if you think of like the workflow or the end-to-end tasks that you're asking somebody to do, there's going to be elements where the specific details of how they do it actually are really important to you. And there are also going to be parts where the details of how they do it aren't important. And when you can let go of the unimportant details, you're able to shift your focus to the outcome of the thing you're asking for somebody to do for you and let go of attachment to how it's done. If it still gets done and the customer's happy, then I guess it doesn't matter the specific details of every single step. And when, and I guess for the parts where you feel like, oh no, the details of how it's done is important, then you get to be really specific about those elements, what you want done, how you want it done, and explicitly show or train the other person in how to do that bit. And then once you've trained them how to do the specific detailed parts that are super important to you, not all of it, just those little bits, you get to leave them to it. So let me give you an example so you can see what I mean. Let's talk about posting on social media. And I often draw on this as an example because so many of us do it, so many of us can relate to it as a function in our business. Now, if we talk about posting on social media, there's many steps. There's writing the caption, creating an image or choosing an image, choosing the hashtags, deciding when you're going to post it, pushing it out on your socials, either in real time or using a scheduler. And then like going and circling back and liking somebody's responses or commenting. And then the final step might be the analysis on, did that post land? So what was the reach and engagement like? So if we look at that, we get to analyze those many steps and choose where the details are that are important to you. So maybe you aren't too worried what image is chosen as long as it's from a pre-approved library of images that you like of yourself, or that have got brand approval, or as part of your standard branding templates. Maybe you don't care what software is used to schedule and push the content out as long as the result, which is engagement, is achieved. Maybe you do care deeply about the language that is used and what is written in the caption because you want to make sure it feels like your personality and they're not using jargon or words that don't represent you. So in this example, the detail that you can let go of is choosing the image, choosing the scheduling software, like let go of maybe, you know, how people's comments are responded to and when they're liked. And the detail that you choose to stay attached to might be the wording of the caption. So you insert a review point there, or you do really specific training on what words suit your brand and your personality, how many exclamation marks to use, and you go through a training process to stay really close to that bit until you can step away. And then you're able to shift to focusing on the outcome. So how many posts a week are we posting? What's the engagement? What's the analytics? And so you get to really like focus on that outcome without being attached to every little bit of detail along the way. So you can see that you get to stay in control and feel safe about the bits that you need to hold on to by being really clear on, well, this part's really important to me. I want to be involved here, or I'm really specific about how you do this bit. And you get to let go of parts. I don't mind what image you use as long as you're using our templates in Canva. I don't mind what image you use as long as you choose from a library that I have reviewed and pre-approved. So if you're sitting there feeling bogged down and feeling like you're involved in all the details of your business and you feel like there's this heavily reliance and this back and forth with you all the time, then the work you probably need to do and what you need to look at is shift from being so involved in all the detail to working out, well, what detail can you let go of and what detail do you passionately want to stay involved in, or do you need to passionately and specifically train someone in? And when you shift your mind to how can I track the outcome? How am I going to know if they're doing a great job if I'm not involved in all of the detail? Then suddenly you're shifting to an outcomes focused way of managing your team, which allows them to be empowered to own it and to get on with it without you. Okay, so then the final one, the fourth way that I want to share with you today that you might be limiting your team is by not handing over decision-making power. And what this accidentally does is it effectively forces people on your team to check in at lots of different stages with you before being able to continue moving forward. So it's similar to number three, where I've just talked about being involved in all the details. And again, when you can start to shift to think about outcomes, and when you're clear on what details are important to you and what details aren't important to you, then the next layer there is giving somebody the authority and permission to make decisions along the way, particularly the decisions that relate to the details that aren't important to you. And it's when we start to drop into this that we can truly hand over responsibility, and with that responsibility, the ability to make decisions and the ability for the business and the team to flow without people having to constantly check things with you. So this is definitely a big one. All four of these are really, really common, but this, like, empowering somebody or powering people on your team to be clear on their responsibility and give them decision-making authority, it's definitely big. So let's dive into this a little bit so you can get some examples. So it might be giving somebody decision-making authority relating to subscriptions, for example. Yes, you know, you're the tech person, and if you find that you need to upgrade a subscription to the next plan because the business naturally needs it, just go ahead and do that without checking with me. It might be allocating a spend. You can spend up to $100 on a client gift, but if you ever go over that, I want you to check it with me. It might be giving them permission to delegate tasks or to outsource tasks or to, you know, to find people to outsource things to as a project requires it without checking it with you. It might be something like, yep, you can change the email subjects if you think that's going to get a better click result without checking it with me. It might be, you know, your assistant can change or make any appointment in your diary blanket as long as it falls within 9 to 5 on Monday to Thursdays because you quite like Fridays to yourself. Or it can be much bigger authority and bigger decision, like you can go ahead and hire somebody and find somebody great, you know, and offer them the job as long as it fits within our budget, as long as it meets the project, which we've already agreed and scope. Or you might be like, you can scope the role, go and find somebody, do interviews, but don't offer a contract without checking it with me. It might be, you know, you're hiring a digital marketing person into your business and you give them the authority to review your email system and make a change to a different one if they think that a different one is going to get you better reach. So this one, this number four, handing over decision-making power, it's definitely what I want to say all my clients find really tricky at all stages of their leadership journey, whether they're at the stage or whether you're at the stage of hiring your first person, right through to my clients who have, you know, 30, 40, 50 people in their team. They can easily find themselves constantly being checked in with for many of their team, even when they have a leadership team in inverted commas, if they haven't sat down and really given some thought to what is the true responsibility that I want to hand to this person, what will make me feel safe, and what am I okay with them running with, deciding and doing without me? And it takes a pause to actually sit and think about that and actually truly hand over authority and decision making. But that is what responsibility is. So, you know, we often talk about, I want to find somebody who's responsible for, I want someone to take this responsibility off my hands. But then often what I see happening is you're not actually handing the responsibility over because then you ask the person to constantly check with you before they do things. So if any of these things that I've talked about today ring true to you and you're sitting there nodding your head, then as I always say, totally normal. And this gets to be your starting point and you get to choose one small action or one small step that you can start taking today to remove that potential limitation that you've accidentally put on your team. So I want you to ask yourself, how can you support your team to know what they need to do more often without you having to tell them? How can you do a little bit more prep before you hand over a task, a project? And how can you spend a little bit more time thinking through to the end result and allowing a bit more space and time for upfront questions so the person can run with it further? Where can you possibly step out of being involved in all the details? And are there some things that spring to mind where you can actually let go of your attachment to the detail of how some things are being done by other people as long as an outcome is met? And then finally, where can you hand over some decision-making power to truly give the person end-to-end responsibility of something in your business? Okay, well, that's it for today. I am sure there is a little nugget of wisdom in there for you, something that you're currently doing that's accidentally limiting your team. And as always, I'd love to hear what landed for you. So share it on your socials, tag me, send me a direct message, or better still, leave a review wherever you're listening to this so that we can get more people listening to the Big Dreams, Great Teams podcast and elevating themselves as leaders. So thank you so much for tuning in again. Have a great week, and I'll be back here next week.